Good morning. I come with you with a joyful heart today to dare to dream. I'm Pastor Bruce Mulberry with At Liberty. You can find us at www.heartsatliberty.com. It's a joy to be with you this morning as we continue to explore Ephesians chapter 1. Continue to explore why we want to dream, why God's given us the ability to look into the future and set our goals, set objectives, and go to working hard to achieve them for His praise, for His honor. And I pray that you find the scriptures to be real within your life as we take our vision step by step to reach the dreams that have been stirring our emotions for many years. Maybe you've been delayed in seeing your dream come true. Habakkuk says, write it with big letters so you can read it on the run. I hope that you're writing your dreams down and seeking counsel, seeking advice, seeking the way to move forward. As we studied last time, God always designs with a purpose, His creation, and we are His purpose. With that, in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Obtained an inheritance. Isn't that what we're trying to leave our generations beyond us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? An inheritance. Yes, those are in financial joys, but it's also the inheritance of the joy of Jesus Christ, in whom they also, if we have the opportunity to teach them when they're sitting down and when they're rising up, as Deuteronomy tells us to, we're going to be able to leave with them the inheritance that this passage is talking about. Being predestined, predetermined point of arrival, that place that God says, I'm going to bring you to the praise of my glory. That place that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. That brings a word to my mind, duty. Now, I don't know if that word brought emotion of negativism or positive, but when you speak to a Marine, duty is not a negative word. You ask any Marine, duty to God, country, and Corps. Duty is an honor bestowed upon the person who is given the opportunity to serve. Serve with honor. As you bring your dreams into fruition, as God brings that faith up into you, and you start taking step by step in towards your vision, find that place to serve others. Serve with honor. I was taught this very special lesson by a pastor in Ghana. He was part of a great ministry there, refreshing our international church. I was sharing material with pastors and church leaders, placed in my spirit by John Maxwell's great outreaches and the ministry of Family Foundations, www.familyfoundations.com. Well, Pastor Steve was a pastor there in Ghana, and he met me at the airport, and he lived 4 hours from the airport. Well, my plane was delayed. First 1 hour, then 2 hours, and then announced 3 hours more. Now, my flight was 12 hours long, and we were being delayed in what was happening, and he never had the opportunity to go for a rest, because if he headed back home, he would never be back in time for the plane to arrive. We actually arrived 12 hours late. So that's 24 hours that we were waiting, but he was supposed to be at the airport there at the 12-hour mark. So he had to stay at the airport for about 16 hours after he left home. Now, that is a long time. When we cleared immigration and customs, we met Pastor Steve outside the airport. He had a great big smile, and he had a hug for me and my wife. His gift of hospitality was shining bright, and he made us feel very welcomed. I apologized and was very repentant for the great inconvenience we'd caused in his schedule, knowing full well what we had cost him in emotion and in physical weariness, being 12 hours late. He looked me right in the eye with a huge smile and said, "It's nothing. It's my duty." Well, for this American, I had to do a quick process in my mind. Because to me, duty sort of carries a negative connotation sometimes. For him, it was just totally positive. Well, God took me to the Marines in my life and revealed this great lesson. It's my duty. I was chosen. I get to serve. I get to serve others, not because they're needing it, but because I've been chosen and I have been entrusted with the service to pick up the visiting speaker. Talk about a culture of blessing. That blessed me. It's my duty. Fathers of the household, mothers of the household, it's your duty. You get to serve. And when we come into the understanding, we will come into really functioning in the fullness of what it means to be a mother, a father, and be able to take a spouse, husband, and wife, and find this culture of blessing that we've been talking about over the weeks. This culture of blessing, a blessing culture to your children. This will enable you to faithfully discharge the assignment given to you from the Father of Fathers, our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. The perfective measure that God has put in place to ensure that children would be blessed is the covenant of marriage. Covenant marriage is designed by God to protect children at the conception, in the womb, from the KOD's influence. KOD is a term that we like to call kingdom of darkness, that warfare of the spiritual wickedness in high places. In the ancient Hebrew culture, in the days of Jesus, almost no children were conceived outside of the protective covenant of marriage due to the severe penalty for fornication, adultery, being stoned to death. While I'm not suggesting that we return to that penalty today, it is obvious that we are in a society that have widely discriminated and destroyed what it means to be in covenant. And the enemy is open to come in and devastate many children. Walking in God's ancient paths is a way that we can see blessing released. This is actually turns into generational evangelism. Future generations coming to Christ because we bring that blessing culture. The family foundations, we strongly believe that one generation has the power in Jesus Christ to stop generational curses and perpetuate generational blessings. Therefore, at these seminars, we empower parents and youth alike to think and plan generationally. It sure has been a joy to have Craig Hill, founder, Family Foundations International, with us last week and for several more weeks here as we share a vision and a purpose and a cause that people can get involved in and enjoy the joy of bringing blessing culture back to our America.
Great to be with you again today, Pastor Bruce. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to share and talk about a little bit on the broadcast today is marriage. We find that marriage is something that is just greatly under attack in our nation today, and we find that so many married couples are struggling in many, many areas. We minister to them all the time. We find them in the Blessing Generation seminars that we're doing and the other types of seminars. We find that one of the biggest struggles people have is in their marriage, and we put together actually a free four-part online video series on marriage that I'd like to make people aware of. And this just helps people to understand some of the key principles of marriage from the Bible, from a biblical perspective. And I wanted to share with you, you can get and begin to listen to this four-part series of free online videos on marriage just by going to marriageunstuck.com. It's marriageunstuck.com on the internet. And you just click on that link, put your name and email, and you'll automatically be sent four different teachings on marriage. And this is a key thing. And the reason I'm excited about that is my wife Jan and I, we've been married 38 years, but you know, Pastor Bruce, we struggled in the first 7 years of our marriage really a lot. We wounded each other, we hurt each other, we emotionally did a lot of damage to each other, and I never knew why. I never understood why it was. And honestly, you know what I thought was? I thought, well, you know, Jan, my wife, she seems to criticize me, and she seems to no matter how hard I try to please her, it always seems like I'm not pleasing. It always seems somehow or another like whatever I do, it doesn't bless her somehow or another. And I'm trying to do everything I know to do. And I know from her standpoint, she felt like, well, my husband just makes me feel worthless. He's so busy doing all of his things. He's focused on his ministry. He's focused on all the things that are in his life. And I'm low priority to him. I just don't mean anything at all to him. And that hurts me and makes me feel worthless. But the problem was she didn't have language to tell me that. She didn't know how to explain that to me. And as a result of that, I didn't understand how I was wounding her or how it was happening. And after 7 years, God gave us an incredible revelation, something my eyes popped open to something that I had never seen before. And the first part of that came when I was watching a movie just shortly after I had read I'd been meditating on Ephesians chapter 6, which is a spiritual warfare passage, and I'll just read that right here. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm." And then it goes on and describes about the full armor of God. And one day when I was meditating on that, it seemed like the Lord just quickened verse 11 to me, where it said, "Stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And I looked up that word scheme, and it was a premeditated, pre-thought-out plan. And I realized, could it be that the enemy, that the devil and demonic spirits have premeditated plans that they're actually working against our marriage, and we didn't even realize it? And later when we had children, we found the same thing to be true with our children. And so I began seeking the Lord about this. Could the enemy be using me with one of his schemes? And we talked, I believe, on the last broadcast about blessing quite a bit, blessing and cursing. And let me just tie back into that, because this has been a key theme in our ministry, Family Foundations International, is bringing and restoring a culture of blessing to family and to marriages. And I would define blessing in this way. Blessing is just imparting to the heart of another person what God says about them. Cursing is imparting to the heart of another person what the devil says about them. So when you tell somebody you're stupid, that's not God's message, that's the enemy's message. Or when you tell somebody you have no value, you're worthless, that again is cursing, that's the devil's message. And what God showed me after 7 years of marriage is that without even realizing it, he was using me, the devil was using me, to impart to my wife a message, "You're worthless." And I didn't even realize that I was doing that. I was sending her a message, "You have no value." And I did not realize I was doing that. And God opened that up to me after 7 years. And that's why I did this four-part free video online teaching, is to share with people the details of that, which I can't do on this short radio broadcast today. But again, if you'd like to hear all the details, God showed me three specific things that I was doing that was wounding my wife on a daily basis. And I found likewise there are three things that many times women do that wound their husbands on a daily basis, and they don't realize it. It's an area that we're completely blind to. And you can watch those free video teachings if you just go online, go to marriageunstuck.com. The reason we called it Marriage Unstuck is many people are stuck in their marriage, and we want to help them get unstuck in their marriage. So again, just a free online video series at marriageunstuck.com. But I was beginning to say, God opened something up to me when I was watching a movie that was actually on the American Revolution. And I can't remember now the name of the movie, but it was talking about the shot heard around the world, which of course was the very first shot that was fired that started the war between the British and the American colonists. And I was wondering who fired the first shot. and that nobody knows for sure, but the way this movie depicted it was really quite interesting, that British soldiers, of course, were marching up the road toward Concord and Lexington, and the American militia had come out to meet them. And the way the movie depicted it was this. There were the two generals that were talking and negotiating with one another, but unbeknownst to anybody, over in the corner was an arms dealer. And this guy was hiding behind a little wall and in sort of in the bushes. Nobody saw him. Nobody knew he was there. And the arms dealer really didn't care about the British or the Americans. He just wanted to start a war so he could sell guns to both sides. So while nobody was looking, this arms dealer from behind the wall shot dead the second-in-command British officer. And, of course, when he fell, the British general immediately assumed the Americans did that. And he terminated negotiation, stopped talking, and issued a command to his men to fire. So the British soldiers fired. And, of course, the American general then responded likewise and issued the command to his men to fire. And they did, and the war was on. Now, what's very interesting, if you would ask both the American general and the British general who started the war, each of them would say it was the other. If you said to the British general, did you fire first? He would say, absolutely not. They fired upon my second-in-command officer and killed him. We responded in self-defense. And if you talk to the American general, so you started this, he would say, absolutely not. For no reason, the British general stopped talking and issued a command to his men to fire. We responded in self-defense. Now, who's right? And from each of their perspectives, of course, they're both right. And you know what I discovered is that in my own marriage, that is exactly what was happening every single day, is that we would begin shooting at each other, my wife Jan and I, and I always thought, well, she's the one who started it, and she thought, he's the one who started it. And it's the same as, you know, if anybody has more than one child, if you have two little children and they get in an argument, or they get in a fight with each other, and you say, well, who started it? Both of them point the finger at the other person and say, well, he started it. Well, she started it. And the truth is, many times, it's a spiritual dynamic that nobody even saw. And that's what was happening in our marriage, is that there actually is an arms dealer. There is a spiritual enemy, Satan and demonic spirits, whose purpose it is to destroy in our marriage. And that is exactly what the arms dealer was doing in our marriage over and over and over again. He was using me to wound my wife, to shoot her, as it were, and I didn't even know I was doing that. He was using Jan to shoot me and didn't even know that it was happening. And as I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what is the scheme? How does it work? What God began to reveal to me was that there were two levels of communication in marriage, and this is really true in any relationship, and that I was blind, completely blind, to the lower level of communication. And I call that lower level of communication relational communication. The more external level is topical communication. And in marriage, those are things we talk about that are just various topics, such as where will I live? Where will we live? What cars will we drive? What jobs will we have? How do we conduct our discipline of our children? How do we spend our money? How do we divide work in the house? Who pays bills? Who cooks food? Who does all these different things? This is topical communication. But underneath all of that is what I call relational communication. These are messages that we send to one another in the realm of identity regarding value. What that means is, without realizing it, I was sending my wife a message, you have no value, and I don't love you, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. I was sending her a message that she didn't mean anything to me, and I had no idea that I was sending her that message. And then she would shoot back at me, well, you're worthless, you have no value, I don't love you. And she didn't mean to do that, but that's the natural response when somebody gets hurt. And I had no idea I was sending her that message. And after 7 years, God opened my eyes and began to show me how, exactly what was the mechanism. And he showed me that there was three very specific ways that I was communicating to my wife, I don't love you, you have no value. And I found that every woman, every wife wants to feel loved, she wants to feel valued. And I discovered that there are three very specific things that most women perceive to be love. And what I was doing is what sending my wife on a relational level a message in all three of those areas, I don't love you, you have no value. And here was the kicker, I didn't know I was doing it. And because I didn't realize I was doing that, there was no way to repent. So when she would get hurt, when she would feel wounded, I didn't even know what I had done. So there wasn't any way to repent. I just perceived it as a false accusation, like you're falsely accusing me. I know many wives may be listening to the broadcast today, and you may be thinking, you know, I have tried and tried and tried to tell my husband the ways that he hurts me, and he just seems to be oblivious. He just seems to not listen or not care, or somehow he's just doesn't pay attention when I try to tell him. And that was my wife Jan's frustration for 7 years. Finally, God opened my eyes to what I was doing. And again, if you want to know what are those three very specific things that God showed me, please go on the internet to the site marriageunstuck.com. And I've done a series of four free videos where I shared in detail what are the three specific things that every wife needs her husband to do that impart love to her. And then in one of the other teachings that's in that free series, what are three very specific things that a wife can do that makes her husband feel valued and loved and honored and opens his heart? You know, I find many, many wives tell me this. You know, my husband never talks to me. He just talks to other people, but never to me. And, you know, one of the reasons that is because the arms dealer, the enemy, is using that wife to wound her husband, and she's not aware of it. She doesn't even know that that's happening. And what most men do when they're wounded, they don't usually tell their wives. What they usually do is just close up, withdraw, stop talking, and a wife says, how come you never talk to me? And it's because he's wounded. Again, please just go to the site marriageunstuck.com, and you can watch those four free videos.
Thank you, Craig. That's such a wonderful expression of marriage. I know in my own life, my marriage with my wonderful wife, Terry, has been a cycle of honor and me throwing in dishonor here and there too much. And these opportunities to listen to these four trainings on marriage is a wonderful expression. And thank you for making this available to us. MarriageUnstuck.com. Take advantage and see what God would bring your marriage to a new level of intimacy. And Father, I feel like I should even pray right here and say, Father, I thank you that you gave us the institution of marriage and made it such a powerful place of protection for the family, that supernatural expression of Holy Spirit where two people agree, and where two people agree, great things are accomplished. May your word come alive in our marriages. May the truth of your love come between husband and wife so that their hearts are brought closer together. Father, for those that are looking forward and are experiencing that love relationship in its early stages, that are planning on marriage, they too grow into that deep expression. So when they bring to the fruition of their relationship in that marriage environment, they too will be unstuck and be able to move forward in the greatness of your glory, sharing the wonders of your love. Father, I thank you for that hope in us. Engulf us with your presence in our marriages so that we can take it to a world that needs you. Engulf us with your presence so we can take it to the next generation and bless our children to the fullness of your needs, hopes, and glory in their life. In Jesus' name. Ephesians 1, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, that we should be purposed of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. His purposes, his design. We've been dealing with Dare to Dream and what it means to have an understanding of what God wants in our life, and then we work toward the goal of his high calling, a workman in Christ Jesus. Not ashamed, because we have the word of truth rightly dividing in our lives. Father, make that true. We've been dealing with blessing and how blessing is such an important aspect. There's a book I would encourage you to get a hold of, and that's called The Power of the Parent's Blessing. And it's written by Craig. You'll find it on our website, heartsatliberty.com, or on Family Foundations, that's with an S, familyfoundations.com. And I would encourage you to get a hold of this book and really find out that power of the parent's blessing and how important your marriage, unstuck, brings forth that blessing in your family. One of the core values in our lives is blessing. And blessing is an ancient path. We'll be understanding what ancient path is in our next time together. But for this time, it's that walk that God desires us to follow in His Word. It's a timeless way of God that always works. It empowers people to be prosperous in God's business. Jesus said, what? I have to be about the business of my Father when his parents came back to him. Well, we too need to be about our Father's business, and our dreams take us that direction when we allow God to be first place. I know I want to be an agent of God to carry out the principles of God's blessings and imparting blessing back into people's lives. That's one of my purposes, and I thank God that he's given me that opportunity. And I know that there's been places in my life that I've had debris in the way, could I say it that way? Desires that are not of God, and he had to take me and mold me and shape me. And I'm so glad that he continues to work in my life with his grace that empowers me to prosper, that he blesses me and empowers me to prosper. He blesses me in order to bless my wife. He blesses me in order to bless my children, my grandchildren. In a person's lifespan, there are at least 7 critical times of blessing. And I would encourage you to get involved with the Generational Blessing Seminar as you would find those 7 critical times. But the point is, blessing is passed on from one generation to the next. And that power of blessing, or the lack of the blessing, will affect future generations. We need to find that way to bring future generations up into the next level of relationship with him. Vision is like a magnet. It will pull you towards your accomplishment and your destiny. Or if your vision is to a different location, that which was once a dream will pull you to something different. What is your dream? What is your destiny? For our hope, it's transforming families, blessing generations. We desire to see individuals, families, and communities transformed by God's culture of blessing and empowered to fulfill their destiny in a love relationship with their Father. We pray that you can find that place of a dream, find that place to work effectively with the skill sets and the talents that God has given you to work to the fulfillment to the praise of his glory, that predetermined place of arrival. As you are to work that direction, it's sort of like our lives. Our lives are very much like a mixing cake batter. The ingredients are thoroughly mixed together and you can taste the outcome, but it's very difficult to say which ingredient is the most important. The ingredients that impact our lives, God, parents, our own decisions, our environment, other people's influence, even events that happen and how we understand those events, past results of decisions that we've made, decisions that we're making towards the future, and yes, even the KOD, the kingdom of darkness. These ingredients all stir together to come forth with what we want to achieve. What is it that you want to achieve? Bring God's word alive in your life. Thank you for sharing time with us with Dare to Dream. I pray that you have a house of worship, and I enjoy that house of worship that God's called you to. If you don't have one, come join Hopewell Community Church in north side of Pottstown on Route 100 at 5 Point State Street in Commerce. Go worship Jesus and enjoy him, iron sharpening iron, in your house of worship. The Lord bless you.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.